Continuing on with this nectarian adventure, Srimad Bhagavatam. I think we're on text 8, honestly. Yes. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service. Text number 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Dharma.
Dharma.
Artha.
Artha.
Uttama. Uttama.
Uttama.
Shlokam.
Shlokam.
Tantu.
Tantu.
Tanvan.
Tanvan.
Pitrin.
Pitrin.
Yajay.
Yajay.
Raksha.
Raksha.
Kama.
Kama.
Punya.
Punya.
Janan.
Janan.
Oja.
Oja.
Kama.
Kama.
Marut.
Marut.
Ganan.
Ganan.
Dharmartha uttama shlokam.
Dharmartha uttama shlokam.
Tantu tanvan pitrin yajay.
Tantu tanvan pitrin yajay.
Raksha kama punya janan.
Raksha kama punya janan.
Ojas kama marut janan.
Ojas kama marut janan.
Dharmartha uttama shlokam.
Dharmartha uttama shlokam. Santu tanvan pitrin yajet.
Raksha kama punya janan.
Raksha kama punya janan.
Ojas kama marut ganan.
Ojas kama marut ganan. Harm artha uttama shlokam.
Tantu tanvan pitrin yajet.
Tantu tanvan pitrin yajet.
Raksha kama punya janan.
Raksha kama punya janan.
Ojas kama marut ganan.
Ojas kama marut ganan. Harm artha uttama shlokam.
Tantu tanvan pitrin yajet.
Raksha kama punya janan. Ojas kama marut ganan. Dharmartha uttama shlokam.
Dharmartha uttama shlokam.
Tantu tanvan pitrin yajet.
Tantu tanvan pitrin yajet.
Raksha kama punya janan.
Raksha kama punya janan.
Ojas kama marut ganan.
Ojas kama marut ganan.
Dharmartha uttama shlokam.
Tantu tanva pritya jet.
Tantu tanva pritya jet.
Raksha kama punya janam.
Raksha kama punya janam.
Ojas kama marut ganam.
Ojas kama marut ganam.
Dharma artha.
Dharma artha.
For spiritual advancement.
For spiritual advancement.
Uttama shloka.
Uttama shloka.
The Supreme Lord.
The Supreme Lord.
For persons attached to the Supreme Lord.
For persons attached to the Supreme Lord.
Tantu.
Tantu.
For offspring.
For offspring.
Tanvan.
Tanvan.
And for their protection.
And for their protection.
Pitrin.
Pitrin.
The residents of Pitriloka.
Residents of Pitriloka.
Yajet.
Yajet.
Must worship.
Must worship.
Rakshakama.
Rakshakama.
One who desires protection.
One who desires protection.
Punyajana.
Punyajana.
Pious person.
Pious person.
Ojakama.
Ojakama.
One who desires strength should worship.
One who desires strength should worship.
Madhugana.
Madhugana.
The demigods.
The demigods.
Translation and report by Srila Prabhupada.
I should go by.
One should worship Lord Vishnu or his devotee for spiritual advancement in knowledge and for protection of heredity and advancement of the dynasty. One should worship the various demigods. The path of religion entails making progress in the path of spiritual advancement, ultimately reviving the eternal relation with Lord Vishnu in his impersonal effulgence. His localized Paramatma teacher and ultimately his personal teacher by spiritual advancement and knowledge. And one who wants to establish a good dynasty and be happy in the progress of temporary revising relations to take shelter of the Pita and the demigods and other pious friends. Thus different classes of worshippers of different demigods may ultimately reach the respective planet of those demigods within the universe. But he who reaches the spiritual planet in the Brahma-jyoti achieve the highest perfection. Mandeham Sri Guru Sri Dada Padakamam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Saryadatam Sahagaravitam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Garijana Sarinam Krishna Chaitanya Deham Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagaravadita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vaisaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurani Prasadine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vashtami Shatamine. So, here we are reading how one should worship Lord Vishnu or his devotee for a spiritual advancement of knowledge. And we're also reading about worshiping the demigods for various purposes. Actually, there is no need to worship the demigod. These statements are here as a guide to those people who are completely so foolish and less intelligent that they're wanting to make some advancement in this material world. Not realizing that it's Shama Eva Kevaman, a complete, total waste of time to be concerned about making them temporary arrangements. It's like a yogi, a sage, who wanted to, the villagers felt so sorry for me. I've been meditating in the heat and cold, the rain and scorching sun. They said, we'd like to build you a hut. And he thought about it, well, but he rejected because actually he had a benediction for every hair on his body. He would live for one lifetime of Brahma. You can imagine how long his lifespan was. How many hairs are there in the human body? Multiply that times 311 trillion. You count the nights of Brahma, the non-manifested period also. See, whatever he was every day of Brahma, every lifetime of Brahma, yes. So there must be an equal nighttime, a non-manifested period also. So that's 622 trillion years, you could estimate, by the hair number of hairs in the body, and that is the duration of life. So, he said, why bother building the hair? I'm only here temporarily. So, From this we can learn a lesson why you can be interested in worshiping the demigod, the polytheism. If you get a good dynasty, you know, but I can be the Jones family can go on for the next 10,000 years or something like that. What's the use? It's a waste of time. One should instead try to get out of this material. I mean, this material world is a miserable place. I mean, it's really a miserable place. It's horrible here. You ever notice? It's really a miserable, nasty place. Mm. As Bhakti said on the Sarasvati, because there's not a fit place that a gentleman is living in. So why would you want to stake out your permanent residence here in this place which is miserable? And not only is it miserable, but it's temporary too. Mm-hmm. Even if you say, well, I don't mind the misery, I kind of like it here. Even though I'm so miserable, I'm attached to it, I like it. Even if you're inactive, it's still, it's only temporary. At the nighttime of Ramah, these planets will all be destroyed. And the whole universe gets wrapped up at the end of his lifetime. Mahavishnu and Hail. So, even if you try, I'm willing to tolerate the misery, but I'm really attached to this place. You know, home sweet home. In spite of all the miseries, still, you can't hang on to it forever. So why hang on, foolishly hang on to a place where, number one, you can't, it's not going to be there forever, it can be taken away. Your attachment will leave you in a frustrated state because it's taken away from you. And it's miserable to live. So, it's really a stupid thing to be a demigod worshiper. Therefore, Krishna says, Kamaishtaita Hityana Papadyam Teyanada Papadyam Teyanada. Kamaishtaita Hityana. He said, those who have lost their brain, Hityana, Hitta means stolen, are lost, are completely out of touch with it. Hityana, their intelligence, their knowledge, their brain are completely gone. Their brainless idiots. They embrace the demigods with some temporary boon. So we should not be so foolish to run after some temporary boon in this material world. We should understand no matter what I may achieve here, it's today, I'll have it tomorrow, we finish. So why, you know, why build your house on quicksand? Who would want to build a house on quicksand? It's the most stupid thing you could ever do. You need a solid foundation. So if you want to build yourself a happy life, a permanent happy life, you can always be happy forever and ever and ever. You have to build your life on a solid foundation, in a sense. You have to build your life on a solid foundation. And what is that? What is that? Demigods, it's not a solid foundation. Because the demigods also, they are mortal, they will die. They can't. The Svarga Loka will also be destroyed, and the universe is destroyed. So why foolishly run after that sort of happiness, which is illusory, the best? Not actually tangible, it's the illusion of happiness. It's like, for example, I may say, guess what? You just won the biggest lottery in the history of the universe. Here's I have a van here filled with a $10 million with $100 notes. And it's all you do is just unload it, put it in your garage, and have a good life. And you get, you know, $1 trillion worth of $100 bills. Just unload it in your garage and have a great time. Congratulations. Wow. Later, like, you know, Saturday afternoon comes, and on Monday morning, you know, I'm in the car all off to the bank. Big bank account. You know, buy all my friends over. I have a big party. I put on the charge card and a huge bash. At one time, a huge bash. You know, met Mario Stadium down here for, you know, $100,000. The Olympic Stadium, a big party. Bought the whole city of Boston. You know, put on a big, huge bash to celebrate. I got $10 trillion. I mean, I can entertain the whole United States of America with money. At least I have a whole city of Boston. I would put it all my, max out all my cards, and it was a huge, huge celebration. You know, spend $500,000 on the refreshment, you know. And no problem, you know. Me, I can burn the millions, just to keep myself warm in the winter. Millions of dollars I can burn, no problem. I get $10 trillion. So then, yeah, Monday morning, you're all excited. You get to the new U-Haul trailer, you load it up, you go to the bank, you say, sir, this money's chemical. Yeah. And you just racked up huge debt on your credit card. You have no way to pay it. Now you're going to be in debt for the rest of your life. And the interest is going to compound more and more. You just ended in the most hellish situation you could ever imagine. Because you put your faith in that those notes are actually valid. And your current notes are valid. They're actually discounted. So, my dear sir, I beg to inform you that the happiness, my dear sir, my dear madam, I beg to inform you that that happiness which you're celebrating now within your heart, thinking it's really, really great, is simply counterfeit happiness. It's not happiness at all. It's simply pure misery. You're thinking it's happiness. Therefore, Maya Sukai, you're thinking you're happy. But actually, you're telling me, you may think you're happy right now with your young body or your automated wheelchair, whatever you may think you're enjoying. But I can tell you right now, it is simply your position in this material world is nothing, absolutely nothing. And the only happiness you can have is to be connected. The only happiness you can have, absolutely, the only happiness you can have is reconnected. Otherwise, there's nothing. Kick out all these ideas that you can be happy outside of the relationship with Krishna, which you're still hovering around with the living mind, kicking out of the boots. Because there's no happiness to you, absolutely no happiness. You have to understand by worshipping Krishna and worshipping his representative, the one of our spiritual master. That is how you will get this. Krishna confirms you, the Bhagavatam confirms. That's how you get spiritual advancement and knowledge, and how you get the awakening of pure prema bhakti in the universe. That prema bhakti actually is the only happiness of the world. The love of God is the only happiness of the world. And that love of God elevates you into a divine state of consciousness. Where you can actually see the Lord, you can talk to the Lord, you can even dine with the Lord. You become an associate of the Lord in any one of the five primary lessons. So how do you do that? You have to become completely sold out servant in spiritual life. You can't just jump. Say, well, good day, Argo. Thanks a lot. Now I'm just going to go jump in my bus. I don't need you anymore. Now that I've heard about the Sarup, who needs you? I appreciate a lot, but bye bye. Now I'm just going to go straight to Krishna. It doesn't work. You have to. Your relationship with Krishna only develops to the extent that you develop your relationship with Krishna. If you haven't developed a relationship with your spiritual master, your surrendered servant, you're nowhere. You are nowhere. You're absolutely nowhere. You have to develop that relationship with your spiritual master, your surrendered servant. Krishna said, Adi Purana, Yene Bhakti Jana Parta, Nane Bhakti Shatayana, Nad Bhaktanam Chiye Bhakta, Yene Bhakti Tamahamcha. And you're my devotee? You're not my devotee. But when you are the devotee of my devotee, then you are my devotee. So, therefore, we must seek out one of that spiritual master. We must find a first class devotee, Uttam Adhikari, Father. We must find out an Uttam Adhikari. Although Papa said the Majjhima Krishna, they can become guru, but actually they cannot. The desirable suffering and insufficient guidance. Therefore, one should seek out a bona fide spiritual master. Uttam Adhikari, first class divinity. Not only has firm faith, Prabhupada makes a very clear distinction between the three categories. Kanishtha Adhikari, he doesn't have firm faith. He's unsteady. He doesn't have firm faith. A Majjhima Adhikari, Prabhupada, a Majjhima can never fall down. So it makes you wonder about all the devotees in this kind of death. This kind of, they hadn't even seen the Majjhimas. It's right there, Prabhupada wrote, a Majjhima Adhikari was mentioned. So what the difference between the Majjhima, you see, the Majjhima has firm faith and intention faith and solid faith. You never know. So what the difference between the Uttama, Prabhupada says the Majjhima is not expert in defeating opposing arguments. Not expert. Based on logic and scripture, it's not expert. The Uttama is very, very expert in defeating all arguments. That's the distinction. So we need to have such an Uttam Adhikari spiritual master. Who has unflinching faith and is also a very expert in defeating all opposing arguments. Can cut through all. Doesn't matter whether it's science, atheism, agnosticism, communism, hedonism, gayism, or whatever it may be. Can cut through all of it. Cut through all of it. Establish the Vaishnava of the Siddhanta. There's one true science. Okay, you know the science? There's only one science. There is only one science. That's the real science. You don't establish pseudo science. It's not science. It's not science. The Vedic science is the only science. Everything else is the imposter science. Pseudo science. So if one takes shelter, that Uttama Adhikari, spiritual master. So we surrender to him. Molds one's thoughts, words, and deeds. So that one is always pleasing to you. Then by that dedication, that loving feeling that awakens in the heart toward the spiritual master, then that translates into the Lord Krishna. Automatically. You don't, without any separate endeavor. All you have to do is love your guru and love of Krishna comes with the package deal. When you actually learn to love your guru, then the love of Krishna is there automatically. Without any acceptance, it comes automatically. It's a natural byproduct. The more you love your guru, the more you love Krishna. So therefore, every day we worship, you can have spiritual mentorship. The initiating guru, the disciple, and the fiction guru, all the Iskanders, the Iskanites. The fiction guru were all the Iskanites. So he found we're all serving the same guru, Prabhupada, the guru of all of them. So we have different fiction gurus, and we all have one fiction guru. And we all try to love Prabhupada, because the more we love Prabhupada, the more we love fiction. And the more you love your Dixie Guru, the more you love Prabhupada, the more you love Krishna. And so it's a wonderful practice. Krishna Bhakti. Bhakti Krishna Nama Di, Nabhavadraya Nindi, right? Sevam Mute Ji Nado, Svayam Deva Svadat Vilaha. There's no way that you can understand the name, fame, form, pastime of Krishna. If you're blunt, materially contaminated, something, it's not possible. Forget it. You'll never do it. Absolutely never be able to do it. The speculators try to do it. The Jnanis, they can never do it. They'll never be able to do it. Absolutely not. But if you engage yourself in devotional service from the Lord Jiva Go, beginning with this thing, the tongue. If you'll engage yourself in the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with your tongue, then you become transcendental. You'll become purified. You'll become uplifted. You will become Krishnized. And with your Krishnized senses, as they say in Christianity, christened. Your christened senses. I'm not christened, but baptized. The same principle. They just don't know that, they don't understand the meaning of it. I was Krishna, and you can become Krishnaized. And by engaging your tongue in chanting Hare Krishna and taking prasadam, the more you do that, and the more sincerely in the mood of bhakti you do that, you become more and more and more Krishnaized and less Mayaized, until finally your spiritual eyes become fully awakened. Thomas, you can see Krishna basically. That day will come. You better become more Krishnaized, more Krishnaized, more Krishnaized, more Krishnaized, and then the chanting of the name, same form, pastime, anjurasya, teaching, etc. of that beautiful, all shakti, all beautiful, all powerful, all renowned, all knowledgeable, all bhakti, all famous, amazing person who's standing on the bank of Keshigat, playing his fifth note on his flute, wearing a yellow devotee with a peacock feather in his hair, on the full moon night of the shark season, attracting all those beautiful gandhis who come and dance with him. You'll develop, you'll reawaken your original relationship with him, and you've found out. You actually want to do the same thing without them. You tell us about it. You literally came with an envious and doing what you said, oh, you want to try that? Go ahead. Try the envy if you want. And you're tired and tired of it, and you learn your lesson. When you learn your lesson, you're welcome to come back. So we have to come back to that position. And Krishna is dancing our team. Or some people say some people are more inclined to want Chaitanya than Krishna. But some people are inclined to both. You can actually wake up with two spiritual bodies if you're inclined towards both. You can have a Chaitanya lila body and a Krishna, but you can be a gopi and a siddhanta. Talk about having your cake and eating it too. You can actually wake up and go back to God and be a gopi and a sannyasi simultaneously. You're doing both pastimes concurrently, in both lessons simultaneously. If you have a dual inclination, if you like chanting Nittai Gaur and you like chanting Hare Krishna both, hey, you can be in both religions simultaneously. If you only want to chant Nittai Gaur, you only Hare Krishna. Actually, in this time, I'm really good. We like chanting Panchatattva Mantra, we love chanting Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Bhakti Gaura Bhakti Nibbhi Bhava Nibbhi Bhava Shri. It's so amazing. And Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama Rama. It's also about super duper Nityananda Mantra. So Prabhupada is engaged, actually we can go back. And anyone who really follows the Prabhupada Marg, they will end up with dual identity. Just stop and engage in that. You like in Vrindavan, you go to Italy, which is Prabhupada. Italian. Or you go to Mayapur, you get Panchatattva. It's Prabhupada engaged. It's called stereo. Stereo bhakti, two channel. Nice. Really, really perfect. Very complete. Serious. Not incomplete. Completely nectarian. In this one, we can have the topmost thing, the local environment. All we have to do is kick out the stupid, you know, mentality of trying to load up this material world. And just learn how to be completely surrendered within the Krishna ranges. If somebody wants my Lord, I'll take it. I don't care if you put me through hell, it doesn't matter. Just put me in a situation where I can always be serving. It can be pleasant, it can be unpleasant. I don't care. It can be, you know, everybody can be praising me, everybody can be, you know, chastising me. It doesn't matter. Everybody can love me, everybody can hate me. I don't care. It doesn't matter. This put me in that situation where I can always be pleasing to you. Even if You know, nobody else is pleased. If the whole world says I'm nonsense, I'm no good, I'm scum, I'm dirt, even if the whole world condemns me as being complete rascal of Surabha, no good association of poisonous snakes. That's a long as I'm pleading to you, my dear Krishna, my dear Srila Prabhupada, my dear spiritual master. As long as I'm pleading to you, that's all. I don't care if everybody hates me because I'm the worst, my longest snake that ever set foot on the planet Earth. I don't care. It's like I'm being criticized. I just got an email from one of my disciples. I'm being very heavily criticized. Some blogs and blog in Spanish. Very good. And Maharaji also. You're being Maharaji, I'm being very heavily criticized. Some Spanish blog. Maharaji and I both for being treated like it. So, there's a blog of you and I are stoned. Spanish blog. Spanish name. We're both members. Actually, me, but my name is Mandarin. She's with me, but Mandarin. The vine is kind of, she's also. She's with me. So, nobody is very, very excited. She has very angry. She'd like to, you know, hit him. She said how she wanted him. She had spit in their face or hit him in the face. That's her move.
What she is doing about the blog?
I can't do it. I'm making a point. If one spiritual master is blaspheming and you're tolerating of it, you're guilty. If your spiritual master is blaspheming and you tolerate it, then you're guilty of it. You're also guilty. If you tolerate it, then you're equally culpable in the blaspheming made against you. Equally culpable.
Is that yoga?
No. Spanish language.
Huh? What's that?
The blog is in the Spanish language.
Yeah, Spanish language. She said it's Argentine. Maybe somebody in Buenos Aires. So we can investigate it. I can mind it. It's just a point in the example for the class. It's not an institution. You can get into it. You can get my computer down and write an email. That can be done later. But the point is this. When people may condemn me as being a snake, as being no good, basically they said I'm not in the mood of Prabhupada. I'm not a good teacher. I'm not teaching the mood of Srila Prabhupada. I'm not merciful. I'm not teaching the mood of Prabhupada. But actually, the example they gave, and what I actually told is, it was a boy who wanted to switch, Balanchar, he wanted to become a girl. In Vancouver. His Balanchar wanted to become a Brahmachari. So he wanted to take, surgery and hormones. Remember, Kevin was in the name. So, our philosophy is not the body. You see, he's thinking he can be happy. I'm a male now, and I'm not happy being a male, so if I become a female, then I can be happy. It's completely against our philosophy. You don't think I'm happy when you're becoming a female. You know, it means you're identifying with your body. Yep, the way to become happy is to realize you're not your body. And I told him this is not going to make you happy, so. He didn't like it that I wasn't encouraging and blessing him with gender change. So he spread some rumor about me and was picked up by the river down south of the border here. They're saying how bad I am. And they gave Prabhupada these things. Prabhupada wrote a very heavy letter about against homosexuals. And Prabhupada was, Prabhupada's heavy was more heavier than I was. I was quite very mellow compared to Prabhupada. They say I had no compassion. I mean, the completely invalid arguments. There are people who don't want to surrender to Krishna. And if they see someone teaching strongly the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which is a threat to their anarchist, they're holding on to it for dear life, then they condemn and criticize that person. This person is no good. the Sankarshan Prabhu is no good, the Sushant Prabhu is no good, because they're preaching pure devotional service. Therefore, they're no good. They're scum. They're dirt. They're nothing but Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't teach pure devotional service. He thought the sense gratification was beautiful and wonderful. No one got. I mean, it's ridiculous. Here we are preaching in the mood of Prabhupada. Manaji and I both. We're preaching in the mood of Srila Prabhupada. And they condemn us for being scum, being no good preachers. Because we're not in the mood of Prabhupada. They don't know the mood of Prabhupada. They don't know how heavy Prabhupada could be. They weren't here. They think Prabhupada is just some Santa Claus figure out there who just always smiles and blesses you whenever you want. Prabhupada could chastise very, very heavy. Very, very heavy. Look how he chastised the Mahat Krishna Goswami. Let's take that in one evening. The Mahat Krishna Goswami is like the, I don't know what our raiders, they come to your temple, they commit all the brahmacharis, leave the temple and come to them on the bus. They were completely, they had no respect for the temples. Actually, in our temple, the Radhanamara party visited our Gainsborough temple. One of the brahmacharis came out of lecture and said, wow, Tamal Krishna Goswami just said that all the women in this kind are whores. This is to convince the brahmacharis. You shouldn't be in the temple. You have to be on the bus. Because all the women are whores. They don't want to be in the temple. It was a strategy to get all the men to come and be on the bus and get away from all the whores. He actually said that all the women in this time are whores to Mahat Krishna. This is the heavy fanatical preaching to get everybody in the bus in the name of book distribution. He thought the name of book distribution to be all kinds of things. They're not really ethical. Book distribution, G-Jai. All the women are whores. We're going to say all the women are whores if we can distribute more books. Therefore, it's okay to say all the women are whores because we're going to distribute more books than anybody else. It's like a lot of passion. It's not really a good thing. So, the temple presidents were in an uproar. He's coming to our temple. He takes the devotees away. They went to, in Mayapur, it was a big thing. The North American temple presidents were complaining to Prabhupada, Small Christians are doing this, this, this. And this is creating all this turmoil. And so Prabhupada talked to Tamal Vishnu about this. And Tamal said, well, in a joking way, maybe it's just go to China, though. No? Maybe it's just go to China. Like, maybe it's just go to the moon, kind of like a joke, an off the cuff, you know, joke. And the next morning during Mangalarti, Prabhupada's servant came down in the middle of the ocean. That's a lot of Krishna goes on the problem at the time. So he said, oh my God, I should have never said that. I'm going to China. He knew it was coming.
Wow.
He knew. Sure, I should have never said. So he went up and sure enough, Prabhupada said, you? And he said, the Prabhupada, the book distribution will suffer. The men need me here, Prabhupada. He tried all these arguments, how he wasn't going to go to China, how he couldn't go to China. He was ruining the Vajradhamara party. I have to be here. When the number one book distributed in my whole movement, your books have to go out. If I go, the book distribution was, Prabhupada was not very pleased with his disciple, but he was trying to argue against surrendering this order. Prabhupada was described as really a lama. Prabhupada's upper lip was quivering. Prabhupada told him, he said, I take away your money. You either go to China or you sit here and mourn for the Chinese Krishna. Take away your money. That was the order. You have one or two choices. You sit here and chant your party, you no longer chant that party, now you sit here and chant Hare Krishna, or you go to China and chant. Okay, Prabhupada, give me one good man, I want a disciplined man to come with me, and I'll give you a mission. Prabhupada went out in the balcony, and said, all the temple presents are out there, he said, tomorrow Krishna was going to China. So, we have a point of the week.
Srila Prabhupada can be heavy.
Yeah, Prabhupada can be heavy. And even to the point where his lip was quivering in anger. Very, extreme disinaction. How angry, someone's lip is quivering. How much anger he must have been feeling. Actually, Prabhupada, he's never overwhelmed by anger, but he's using that name, he's using the third position. So Prabhupada is very heavy, and much heavier than any of us could ever be. Yeah. So sometimes we preach in this fun way, it appears to be, you know, too excessive and too heavy to believe. Oh, there's some negative emotions. They have negative emotions that they're putting no good. Sankarshankar Guru has these negative emotions, you know, down. These gay people who are inclined to a gay life, he hates them. No, this is all just a bunch of money. They take their own attachment, they create, they make a some false propaganda. I mean, they're not anti-gay. In fact, I have a gay couple who are my descendants. Two men. And now they're brahmacharis. Yeah. They're two brahmacharis living together as brahmacharis and close brahmacharis. I'm not going to use their name. It's somewhere in the world. I think it's probably the name. But they like very much my position on gay. I do say that gay sex is perversion because it's not appropriation. I say that outsiders are having sex outside of appropriation and also engaged in perversion. It's a very simple thing. Any sex life out of, whether it's masturbation or other, any sex life outside of procreation is perverted. Whether it's gay, whether it's hetero, whether it's homo or mono, it's all perverted, equally perverted. One godbrother wanted to make a legitimate diet, since we condone our householders having illicit sex, we do condone the gay adults. We do not condone our householders having illicit sex. It's a big misconception. He actually said because we condone the householders to have sex, non-procreation sex, we have to also condone the gays to do it as well. But we do not condone householders having sex outside of procreation. It's vital to illicit sex. It's forbidden in that scripture. So, these gay couple, who are now two brahmachari close associates, they very much appreciated my position, and they're really happy brahmachari. I hate because it destroys the consciousness. I hate it because it destroys their consciousness, Christian consciousness. I'm against them. I'm down on the third set.
Somebody likes the set. Huh? One doesn't go to the spiritual master for the blessings for change of the body. The spiritual master is against the change of the body. They want every soul to go back. That is his compassion. Not the blessing of changing the body.
Actually, yeah, in another sense, yeah, to change the body, the spiritual body. Yeah. The spiritual master is not here to bless you changing your gender. He's here to bless you to change your dimension. Why switch genders when you can switch dimension? You see?
His compassion is not to change the gender, but his compassion is that
He wants you to change your dimensions from the material dimension to the spiritual dimension. That's the change of body he's prepared to give you. The spiritual master is empowered to give you a spiritual body. He has that power to do that.
Yes.
Krishna has given him the Shakti to give you a spiritual body. And you're coming in because you want another, you want to switch your material body.
Then he doesn't bless you, then
it is
compassion.
The
spiritual master
is not for When he's expert, then he's called an uttama. According to Prabhupada's book, I can show you. When he becomes expert at defeating all arguments, he's considered an uttama adhikari. Yeah.
Sometimes people get attracted to the opulences or the qualities of a guru, but they don't surrender to him. They just think. They may say,
Sometimes, actually all the time. That's what we're saying, practically all the time. Right?
Yeah, they may say, I love you, Gurudev.
Well, sentiments are nice, but real love means surrender. As our vendor server very nicely spoke one time, I remember in his lecture, they say, I love Prabhupada, right? But they don't follow him. So, it's not really love, it's a sentiment. But he said, sentiments are also welcome, okay? But it's not really love.
So my question.
Someone says, Gurudev, I really love you. Well, that's fine, but, you know, but I don't want to do any, I don't want to follow your instructions. It's not really love, it's sentiment. Real love means surrender. If surrender is not there, there's no love. They know not very nice, we have good geometers, you know, but without surrender, love is not there. There's no real love in spiritual master unless you're actually surrendering. The sentiment is okay. Sentiment can become love in the course of time. So we don't discourage those sentiments. We don't even encourage those sentiments. We have to then engage those sentimentalists in actual devotional service so those sentiments become transformed or morphed into pure bhakti. Spiritual master, that's his duty to take these sentimentalists and turn them into premies. Mm-hmm. That's his duty. Yeah?
One or two years ago, someone insulted you and someone else insulted Prabhupada. So I wrote them scathing letters chastising them. And you said at that time, I don't know how to do that yet. So
what did she say?
One time someone was insulting you and Srila Prabhupada, so Mataji wrote them scathing letters chastising them.
Good.
And at that time you told her, you're not ready to do this. You don't know how to do it.
Well, maybe I saw, but did you show me what you had written? That's probably, that's why I said it. It wasn't done that time.
Yes.
You must not have, but I must have said that because you didn't do it in the next part, right?
That's what I'm saying.
So, okay. How did you become expert? What's your question?
Is there a rule of thumb, or if we have to chastise somebody because they have offended our spiritual master, is there a rule of thumb how to do it?
The rule of thumb? Do you talk about, do you have the Veda base?
No.
Should you get a copy of the Veda base so you can read the Prabhupada's conversations? Do you have all the MP3 recordings? They can be ordered on a little stick, and then a little, what's it called, flash drive.
I do have hundreds
and
hundreds
of
your lectures and
years. Yeah. The thing is, if you hear how Prabhupada teaches, we learn it from Prabhupada. It's in his books also. I would just say, you just have to keep reading and reading and reading and reading and learn how, well, to me, I started off in the my career in defeating opposing arguments began in the University of Florida campus. For 3 years, I gave out a lunch there every day. And at that time, I used to skip my lunch every day, and because of my tight schedule, I would skip my lunch every day and listen to the Prabhupada in the morning walks in L.A. where Prabhupada was defeating opposing arguments. He was showing how to do it. Yeah.
But those arguments are not against the insult of the spiritual master.
I accept that.
Yeah, so
but the but I'm gonna give you a but. Once you get a feel for the theory of opposing argument, any kind of opposing argument, that can carry over to all kinds of opposing arguments. That was my practice experience. Whether you agree with me or not, that was my experience.
But somebody is like, hey now, if somebody is this as well, what would your response
will be? It depends. Give me a mock insult.
That's like that person.
Let me, when it assessment, give me a mock insult right now.
They're just saying that
they're talking
about the old style. He was an old man, and he was giving what he learned in Bengali.
He was imposing turn of century Bengali morality upon him.
Yeah.
That's one argument.
And when one tries to defeat that, then they come with so many more, and it just does never end.
I would just say you're a complete idiot. You're a total complete idiot. You have no brains at all. I would just blast them very heavily and let it go of that. Not try to waltz around the syllabism of you. You see, if you try to go point by point with them, they're going to screw you to the ball, and they'll go point by point. You'll be waltzing the syllabism for 10,000 years. One thing you'll have to know anymore. I wouldn't waste my time. I'm just telling you a complete idiot. I don't want anything back from you. Don't even reply. And any reply would be deleted. You're a total, complete idiot. I just laugh the hell out of them. Not try to defeat them point by point.
That's like, lot of me have tried with Ramvijay. And Ramvijay went on and on and on and on and on with her.
I will tell you, Nisha does see the name.
No, I'm not.
The thing recorded? Please. Okay, we'll stop here. So delete the end of it.
I'll edit it out.
I don't want, names should not come up in
the name. He should not, because he's going to deal with something.
That's the least negotiation, not the Bhagavatam.
No, he can learn. It's for him.
Scott Bhagavatam says, the title.